is the legendary WAKY, Radcliffe, Louisville.
WAKY, Louisville.
This is Johnny Randolph in the studio as Les Cook, and as you no doubt know, Bill Bailey passed away over the weekend, Saturday morning early. And we're here to talk about our pal, Bill Bailey, who did so much for radio before, during, and after.
Yeah, he was the best. There was no other morning show host.
The Louisville radio, heck, maybe the world, that was more popular than Bill Bailey. In, 30 years he ruled these airwaves, basically. He started his run at KLO.
Yeah.
And
1966, right around Christmas.
And you weren't the guy that hired him at KLO.
No, a lot of people think that, but it is really not true. It's a good point. A guy named Terrell Matheny, Mitch Michaels, was program director of WKLO back in the 60s, and he's actually the one that gave me my first job in Louisville. That was in 65. And then of a year later, he hired Bailey.
Hey, what was the reaction to Bailey from the other jocks who were working at KLO at the time?
Well, I'll give you a personal cop-out on that one, because I did not have an opinion because I was too new, too young in the business. I thought, you know, Bill Bailey sounds strange to me, but who am I to say? But the more seasoned disc jockeys there called it Mitch's folly, Mitch Michael, because they said it would never work.
Turns out that Mitch had a pretty good ear.
Mitch had a great ear, and he is the unsung hero in all this, because he never gets the credit. Because the KLO thing with Bailey was rather short-lived. I'd say rather short-lived, maybe 3 years, compared to Wacky.
Right. Now, wasn't he on KLO when he got the decree from the governor that appointed him the Duke of Louisville?
You know, I don't know.
Okay, I think it is. I don't want to go out on a limb, though.
And I heard it was Senator Wendell Ford, so who knows?
Okay, there you go. I think you're right on that.
I don't know. But, you know, there is a website that is basically a tribute to Wacky, the 79 WAKY is the website, and it's a tribute to Wacky and particularly Bill Bailey. And I might add that all the trade publications that go around, that just radio people see generally, all are referring people to that website.
It's a tremendous website.
It is. And a guy that put it together is a guy named John Quincy. We have him on the line right now. And John was raised in Lexington and was a Wacky admirer and a Bill Bailey fan. And how did this whole thing start, John? There's no John. How come I don't have John?
Oh, you don't have him pussed in on the phone.
There?
No,
hey, I'm there.
There.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. It was my fault we couldn't hear you. How did you get all this thing started, John?
I think I had a discussion with you about that, and also your predecessor at Wacky, program director, a guy by the name of Bob Todd, inspired me to do it. You and I did a little project together called Wacky Remembered, where you answered a bunch of questions. We put together a bunch of recordings of Wacky together, a bunch of Wacky jingles and stuff on CD. And at that time, we kind of wondered why nobody had done a tribute to WAKY, the original Wacky. And Bob Todd was the program director of Wacky before you, and he suggested that I do the website. And I said, well, if nobody else is going to do it, certainly. People have done websites for lesser radio stations, that we might as well do one for Wacky. And then shortly after we put 79WAKY.com up, the old jocks from WKLO said, hey, do one for us, too. And I said, well, okay, fine. And then we put a WKLO site, which is 1080WKLO.com. That's 1080WKLO.com.
Well,
and you can find lots of stuff there for... with Bill Bailey on it, from when he was at KLO and throughout his time at Wacky all the way up until 1985 when he left and went to what was the old WKLO at the time, is WCII, a country music radio station.
Well, you implied that I had a lot to do with your website, and I really didn't. You're kind, but as far as contributing tapes, I didn't have anything. Just didn't. When Wacky went away, Bill, me, Gary Burbank, and all of us figured, well, we had a great time. We really did. But the station is going away, and nobody will think twice about it. But where did you get all of these tapes? Did your listeners send them in, or how'd you get them?
Just gradually networking. This could not have been done, 10 years ago. But in the days of email and websites and the internet, folks who had recordings, who did save recordings of themselves on those two radio stations, as well as fans of the radio station, submitted them. And gradually we built up enough to where we had a decent website with pictures as well as recordings and jingles. I mean, I had a few that I'd collected myself. So we started, and it grew to what it is today.
Boy, and it is huge, and if anything you ever want to know about Bill Bailey is on the 79 WAKY website. Later on, we'll talk about the Wacky reunion that actually John, who I'm talking to here, started. So John, we'll go over to Les, and Les is going to tell us how he's going to be using all your tapes through the rest of the week here about Bill Bailey, all right?
Oh, yeah, John Quincy, thank you so much, because when we brought Wacky back, your website was an invaluable resource, not only in stealing Johnny's format and putting it on FM, but for jingles and air checks and ideas and just to refresh our memory on the nuts and bolts of what was happening with 79 WAKY.
It refreshes my memory.
I had gone on discovered the website soon after you got it up and running, and I went on it, but that would be Sunday afternoon having a beer just listening to it. Having to break it down was another story, and we won't go there now. But you have a tremendous website, and you have in particular not only the Wacky thing that Johnny helped you with, and the a retrospective.
Wacky, remember the tribute that we put together?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is tremendous. But you also have a tribute to Bill Bailey available.
We did do that.
That's the big one, yeah.
And I think, what's it? There's a nominal charge for it, this nominal charge for it, and I want to just let everybody know that you can get that at 79WAKY.com. And it's a valuable resource. If you want to remember not only Bill Bailey, but Dude Walker, Weird Beard, one of my favorites. Burbank is always remains in my mind as a great afternoon air personality, probably the greatest ever heard.
Yes.
Bill Bailey, the beyond a doubt, the greatest morning air personality I've ever heard. And I've heard him either live while they were doing their shtick or on the many websites that do feature air checks. Reel-to-reel radio is one. And I actually worked briefly with Howard Stern at the Four House in Detroit. So, I have a pretty good opinion, and I've heard a lot of the morning guys, but nobody, and there never will be another Bill Bailey. He was totally unique in his ability to communicate and elicit emotional responses from listeners. And it was... And you can't copy the guy. But believe me, I've tried. He is unique. You can't steal his shtick.
You know, guys, nobody has ever... I've never heard anybody that sounded like Bailey. And, when you tell people that he's from a little town in North Carolina called New Bern, I mean, I live in South Carolina now, and the people from North Carolina do not talk like that. You would think Bailey was from New Jersey or New York or the Bronx. But that he was able to have that unique delivery, that unique style, and to be remembered as he is today, I mean, that really says a lot.
It really does. And he knew that, too. Bailey was always, as all of us know, when it came to the love and the adoration, Bailey was always blown away and so appreciative of it. John, thank you much for the great website at 79WAKY. Appreciate it, my man. Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys take care. And,
thank you.
Wish I could be there tomorrow with
you want
with,
to talk about the reunion?
Bill's funeral and visitation, but I'll be there in spirit.
Okay. Well, you've got a Wacky reunion coming up on the day before the Wacky
Rock and Roll Reunion
at the Louisville Zoo. We'll get more into that, but you're putting all that together. So that's the next time we're going to be all getting together, right, John?
Yes, sir. We need to do another reunion.
We will. Minus one important person, but we sure will. John, thank you much, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Thanks, John.
All right, bye. Now, all the tapes, Les, that John was talking about, you have put all this together, and we're going to have these on Wacky this week.
Yeah, we've been building this archive, and we did, when we first came on the air, we did Daily Bailey's, and we actually talked to Bill, and I'd call him, almost every day.
Or he'd call us.
Three or four days a week, and I'm really happy that happened because I was able to get to know him, develop a relationship with him. And what a great guy. What a nice person. And what a tough guy, too, confined to the wheelchair there in the nursing home in his final years. But he would never whine about it. He was always up and positive. I would go to see him, and you, too. He would be up at the nurse's station, cracking jokes, talking to everybody who walked in there.
And the thing is, not one time did I ever walk out of that facility and say, how does the guy do it? I mean, the only thing, for all practical purposes, that worked on him was from the neck up. I mean, his right arm worked, but he was basically paralyzed from that stroke. But never complained. It was never a pity party or anything. It was a joy to go there and see him. And a guy that did see him a lot was another legend in this market, Gary Burbank. Gary, hello to you.
Hi, John. How you doing?
We're doing okay. We're talking about Bailey, and you were Wacky a long time, Bailey was there. And, you know, the thing that I remember about you and Bailey, you were both kind of cheerleaders for each other. You know,
we kind of were. I mean, I was the young upstart at the time. Now, I'm the old downstart now, of course. But when he came into Wacky, we just immediately hit it off just great. And he was always the kind of guy that would, be willing to give you advice whether you asked for it or not. and if you were smart, you took most of his advice because he wasn't following it himself. So you figured it must have been okay.
You know, the amazing thing is that if you have a huge talent pool, like Bailey in the morning, you in the afternoon, usually the talents end up fighting all the time.
Yeah.
But not you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were pals. It was just amazing.
Well, you could not be pals with Bailey because I don't think there was a jealous bone in his body regarding, his friends and things like that. He always wished for the best for you. And he was, we were too busy having fun to be, try to outdo each other at anything. And we were different. We were so different as radio personalities we just kind of fit together right, One the nut, one the washer.
There you go. That is so well put. And it also brings out a side of Bill that the listeners don't know about usually, because when you say Bill Bailey and you're a listener and say you never met him or didn't know him, you think, well, there's just a gruff old clown on the air. But there was that's true, of course. I mean, what you heard is what you get, but there's so much more to him than that.
Yeah, that was his persona, all right. And he was the gruff old clown, but on the other hand, he also, his humor was, it went deep, and it was a very compelling type of humor. I'm talking about when you get up and you listen to Bailey, complaining or griping about something, usually one of his wives, I'm not sure, usually it was the one at the time, and you had to stay and hear the end of it, you may get to work and you think, well, he didn't really tell me, I don't know what's going to happen. Did he, was he successful in getting something done that he said he was going to? And you would have to tune in, it was like I want to say a soap opera, but in a way, I guess it was kind of like that. I mean, it was always something new about to happen. And somehow he had that ability to keep you on the edge of your chair, always waiting for it. And he never lost that. I mean, the whole time he was, in the home there, every time we'd go, you remember that. I mean, he was, you'd walk in the place, and like most of those places, very quiet, very, very reserved, until you got near his room, and you'd hear, "Hey, what are you doing out here?"
Yep.
And go inside, and Bailey, I know one of, Carol is here too, my wife, and Carol, the last time we went to see him, just to show the Bailey humor, and that he never, ever gave up on it, and always was that way, just a natural thing for him. We were sitting there about a year ago, I guess, and it was around Thanksgiving, and we'd had a great visit, been sitting around talking about old times, and reminiscing, and da-da-da-da-da, and Bailey looked at me and said, "Hey, whatever happened to your first wife?" And I told him, I said, "Well, Bill, she died some time back." And Bill got kind of quiet, kind of gazed out the window and looked back at Carol and I and said, "You know, I've been married 3-4 times. I never had a single wife with the decency to die." I can't do it. I mean, Bailey, when he says it, it just puts you in the floor.
I know it. He could do it. You know, Gary, as you're talking, I'm looking at a picture here on the wall at Wacky, and there's a picture of, this was taken at the Wacky Rock and Roll Reunion, a picture of you, Dude Walker, me, Mason Dixon, and Bill Bailey. Gotta be one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah, I imagine so. Me too, it would be.
Gary, it's always great to hear you. And not going to put you on the spot, but sometime in June, what's the date in June, Les?
The 22nd.
The 22nd, right?
Oh, you know about it. Okay, I hope to see.
I'm there. I've already started walking.
All right, my friend. Looking forward to it, Gary.
Me too, John. And thanks for calling.
Thanks, Gary.
And including me in, because like you and like all the rest of us, man, we love that, man.
All right. Best to Carol. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Okay. Okay. Thanks, John.
Bye. Gary Burbank.
I'll tell you what. When you had Burbank in the afternoons and you had Bailey in the mornings, I mean, that's pretty much, that's a lot of power right there. And I mean, to everybody that I knew, we were listening to, driving to and from school or work, and we'd be talking about what Bailey said when we got school or work, and then toward afternoon wondering what, Burbank was going to pull, because you never knew. And they had this ability to worm their way into your mind and keep you listening. I would get home sometimes, and I couldn't wait for, Burbank to come back with the finishing the whatever story it was that he was telling. And the same for Bailey in the morning. You get to work, and it's like, I don't want to be late for work, but where's this going? I mean, there's got to be more to this.
Well, those two guys were honored in the industry by everything. I mean, Gary has gotten all sorts of awards, mm-hmm. Bailey all sorts of awards. And lo and behold, they're just as unpretentious as can be to this day.
I mean, nice guys.
Great, just great guys. Speaking of great guys, Mason Lee Dixon is on the line. Hey, Mason.
Hey, what's going on over there?
Well, we're talking about Bill Bailey, and that's a huge subject, but we're chatting about him, about his life, what he was really like, and a good man to ask what Bill was really like would be Mason Lee Dixon, because you saw him every day of the week.
Yeah, he was as spontaneous as anybody could ever be. He was what we used to say, be here, the be here now thing. He was always there, present. He was always there. And as ad-libbed, you couldn't control him. There's no way you could pigeonhole him. He always had transcended, the moment, and then he would come out of left field with some line that would crack you up.
And never wrote a thing down. Nothing.
Never.
All up top of his head.
And that's the amazing thing about a mind like that. Put him in any situation. Put him in the middle of the Blitz in London during World War II. He would come up with lines that would break people up. And break the mood and set it on to a more comedic level. I think of all the people that I ever worked with, he was a guy that you didn't want to turn off. You had to just listen to him to see where he was going with the next thing.
Well, and the thing about Bill was that he was, and most people don't know this, he was very well read.
Yes.
He knew a little bit about everything. Knew a lot about the Bible. Didn't wear it on his sleeve.
Right. No, no.
But he just led by example.
He could sure quote the Bible.
Exactly.
He was absolutely
beyond all of the technicalities of radio by the time he, or at least when I met him, you know, in 69 or 70, whenever it was that he came back from Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd listened to him when he was on KLO and already had figured out that this guy was beyond it all. And you just pick him up, put him down in another situation, and people were going to listen.
Well, you remember well. I know when we had one of the Louisville radio reunions and Bill Bailey was given the big plaque that said, to the greatest, I'm paraphrasing here, to the greatest Louisville morning man ever, something like that. And,
well, and
the talk that he made out there, there was not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah. Oh, once again, the fact that he could be self-effacing, he was a huge ego. You have to develop that in order to survive in the cutthroat business of radio. Personality radio had become. But he never had, you know, an unkind word to say about anybody that I ever knew of.
Well, you're right. You're right.
And everyone seemed to play into him rather than he playing into anybody else. You know, he was already beyond it. And, you know, the people that tried to imitate him, it's like, what are these punks trying to do? You know, but it never really came off cynical or sarcastic or depreciating. It was like, yeah, right. What are you trying to do? Imitate this guy? You're crazy.
Yeah, well,
he's real. He's 100% real.
Yeah, well put, Mason. Boy, I'm glad that we're able to get you on here today. Appreciate that.
Well, I have been sad ever since, you know, you bemoan yourself. It's not about Bill, because Bill is larger than life. You know, just we've lost his body and that's it.
Yeah.
But the things that he imparted to his audience, the things that he had reinforced in people, you know, individually, were beyond life. You know what I'm saying? They were foundational.
Yes.
And that's what made people. That's what, you know, from the most common street person to the people that were in control of the city, relate to him.
All right, Mason Lee Dixon. Appreciate the input very much. Thank you, Mason.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Mace.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye. Mason Lee Dixon.
I like the way Mace looks at things. Larger than life. And that's a good quote. That's a very descriptive way to describe the legend that is Bill Bailey. He was larger than life.
He was.
He lived larger than life. The legend is out there, and there are all kinds of stories, and who knows what's really true and what's really not. But I always looked forward to hearing him on the radio, because I wasn't sure I wanted to go in radio. My father had a radio station. You know, young kid, don't want to do what your daddy tells you you should do. You know, so I'm working at the Census Bureau over here and listening to him going into work every day. And then, you know, one day he's not there. And I'm like, whoa, what happened to Bailey, man? I hope he didn't get in trouble for something. You know, I'm starting to freak out, man,
because
my boy wasn't there. I mean, where's my boy, man?
Bailey would tell people, don't get into radio. And he would.
Well, it made me realize that maybe radio wasn't so bad, because I was never going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief, and I wasn't going to make a difference in anyone's life. But
great.
I thought, you know what? If you can make a difference in someone's life just by making them feel better in the morning, you've done something positive.
Yeah.
So
I
went for it.
Well, a guy that was born and raised in Louisville and grew up on Wacky and became a radio personality himself in Memphis is Tom Prestigiacomo. Tom, how about the? I'm sure you got some Bailey thoughts.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for all of our losses and that we all managed to come together at a time like this. I'd much rather that we'd had that wonderful award that we gave him and all of the people that were down in that building that day. I wish we were doing that on the radio right now so that people could celebrate that part of it as opposed to just celebrating his memory.
Well, that is very true. But you know, look how much love Bill Bailey got after he retired. You know, a lot of times what you're saying is very true, that someone will pass and they say, oh, gee, we should have done this, we should have done that. But Bill knew the influence that he had. He was very humble about it. And he was just a magnificent guy that basically got the recognition he deserved. So go ahead, Tom.
I agree. That's a good point too, Johnny. When I was called and they let me know that this had come down, that the Duke had passed away, and all of the electronic media that we have available to us now, I put it on a couple of sites that on Facebook, like the Remember Hikes Point site, and I'm just going to read you some of the comments. Sad to hear this. You made us all smile for many years. Here's another one. Thanks again for announcing to your audience that Max Green fell through the ice while trying to find his way into the building. He was talking about Bill. Everybody remembers little stories. And the thing I remember most about the Duke of Louisville is that when I woke up and hated getting ready for school, he sounded like he hated the world more than I hated school. So I thought that it was all pretty good there. There's a couple of comments. Here's one from Kenny Dunn Sr. It said, put me to work, Reed. Everybody remembers that catchphrase, and everybody wished him well. And you're right, Johnny. He was a legend not only during his career, but even remembered properly afterwards. I think Duke, I had a teacher who once referred to him as a curmudgeon, and I immediately had to go look that up, and that's exactly what he was. He was a curmudgeon at large. When I worked, when I came back in 1978, I actually worked at Wacky from 78 to 79 before I came back here to Memphis. And I used to have to walk into that control room with Bailey on his last two or three songs. And I'd walk in and I swear to God, he'd look up from the turntable and he'd go, oh, Jesus, what do you want? I'm 26 years old. I'm working with the guy that I grew up listening to, and I'm thinking it's the most wonderful thing in the whole world. And he's just, he never changed his act. He never changed his stick. He was always a curmudgeon, no question.
But you know, Tom, I would go see him, or Les would see him, or you would see him over at the Friendship Home, and he was all kind of awestruck that all this happened, and he was so appreciative of it and couldn't believe all the attention that he got.
And you know what I think?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Johnny. What I thought it was is that he didn't realize how much he was loved. I don't think he ever understood how much he was appreciated for just his attitude, for just being himself, for putting himself out there through 3 and 4. He lived his life on the radio, and I swear, I wish I could be there tomorrow. I've got a booking tomorrow night in Memphis, or I would be up there right now. I would love to meet, which I can't remember which one of his daughters he used to call Baby Jupiter, but I laughed about that all the time. And when my daughter was born, the first couple of years she was flying around the house, I said, she reminds me of Baby Jupiter. That's all I could think about. And his great, I mean, he gave us catchphrases and memories that lasted for, I mean, we still see them.
We do, and people will tell Bill Bailey stories just decades from now, no doubt.
Tom, I was so happy to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I just want to say it was great to hear Mason and Gary Burbank on the radio today. It was just, it takes me back. I'd like to feel like I was 19 years old. I don't think I'd like to be 19 right now. But it was so good to see them all and talk to them. Bailey was the one. Do you have time for one quick story?
I can
go real fast on this. I used to come down early on Saturday morning so that I could work on the production equipment. And I was 18, 19 years old at the time. And I had stayed up that whole Friday night, and I caught the bus down to 4th Street. And I was sitting there on the couch and fell asleep in the lobby of the Wacky Showcase Studios. And I came back out, and Bailey said, you know, Don Myers was here. I said, what? And Don Myers was the general manager of the station. And he said, who's that? And he was pointing at the couch, and Bailey said, oh, that's Giacomo. He said, you know, Joe's kid down the street. My dad worked at Kunz the Dutchman for years, and I think he knew everybody in management, and I knew everybody that was on the air. So that was my first introduction to the gentleman who ended up giving me a life and a career here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, the thing about it is, though, that Don Myers probably knew that Bailey was putting him on, because Don Myers figured the inmates were running the asylum.
Yeah, but what a great show you guys did. I mean, it was a heck of a run, you have to admit that.
It was a great run. It was just run.
40 years later, we're still singing it and dancing it, and I think that's the wonderful part of it. And to be a part of that legacy, even just as a listener, has been a lot of fun for me. But to have actually been in the dance, that was great.
All right. Tom, it's great talking to you, as always. You're a great wacky friend. I appreciate it. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
Happy Monday. See you. Bye.
Life, thanks. Tom,
it was the greatest run of all time, man.
Yeah, it was.
Tom Prestigiacomo, and a great guy. Gentleman, glad he was able to call and get in on the fun today.
Yeah. Now the funeral services, visitation is tomorrow, Radiman in Middletown, 11 to 6.
Right.
And the funeral's at 6.
Funeral's 6 o'clock.
And they're going to need 7 hours of visitation.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Because they're opening it up to everyone, which is, you know, family's wishes, and you got to respect that, and I do. Bill really loved his kids.
He talked about real family man. This is part of the Bill you didn't hear on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a huge family man, and all his life, and family meant everything to him. His daughters, his son, everybody. He was a great family man, I thought.
Well, I'll tell you, you can. The world's largest free picnic that we resurrected a couple of years ago, 3 years ago at Churchill Downs. We had Bill there to sign some autographs. Dude Walker was there. You were there. Tom Dooley, Burbank. And I think everybody, all those jocks, were amazed at the love they were getting for the people who showed up that day. Now, Bill, we had him in an air-conditioned little camper.
Yeah, he had emphysema, so he had to be in that, yeah.
He had people lined up to get his autograph for like 5 hours in what turned out to be a very hot and humid day. And they just lined up and were there. And he loved it. I mean, he was amazed. Wore him out, but he was amazed at the love. He was just...
I am too. I mean, we all are. Gary is.
Yeah.
And another guy, too, that's part of the whole thing on the line right now is Jay O'Brien. And Jason was part of the wacky thing and hung out with Bill Bailey a time or two. Right, Jay?
I was there. And if you remember, Johnny, when I first went to wacky, I was doing... I think 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., and I always hated when Bill was late.
And that was every day.
There was absolutely no way that you could fill in Bill's shoes. It was, I mean, for me as a young guy working there at the station, it was one of the biggest treats of my life. But Bill was one of those people. He was a masterful storyteller. And even though I worked with him and could watch him, when I left the station and would listen to him on my way home, I couldn't tell whether the guy was making something up or whether or not this was a true story. And so much of what Bill talked about on the air was really his own personal life. It's just disguised in so many other ways.
Well, he would never admit to you whether it was a true story or not. You couldn't get an answer out of him.
That's true, and it was one of the funniest ones I remember one morning. I was listening to Bill, and I had some production to do, so I left the station about 7 o'clock in the morning, and Bill's going into this story about a man walking back in front of the radio station. I remember we had those showcase studios on 4th Street, and he said somebody's walking back in front of the building, and he's talking to Reed Yaden. Now the guy's trying to get in the door, and sooner or later the guy's trying to beat the door down with an axe. You didn't know if this was a real story or not. It could have been.
It could have been. In fact, one timer is a similar story. The police came over there because they thought someone was breaking into the station.
That's true. And I also remember another time, I think, that Bill parked his car in the back of the back in the alley where we weren't supposed to park, and it got towed off one morning. And
my! Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Bill encouraged his listeners, I think, to kind of intercede for him on his behalf to get his car back. It's something to do with the police chief.
Yeah, boy, are you being kind on that one.
He went off on that one.
Yes, he went off on that one. But the
yeah, he was he was just such a magnificent person, and I, one of the most masterful storytellers I've ever met in my life. Bill did everything from a radio person's perspective, from a programming perspective. I'm sure he did everything wrong, but for the listeners, he did everything right, because everybody loved this guy. They could tell you what he did every day.
Yes, you're absolutely right about it. He did not fit the mold of any disc jockey. He was just Bill Bailey and entirely different. And aren't you, like I, aren't we glad that we were part of that thing?
Oh, Johnny, it was probably one of the greatest experiences in my life. I mean, two and a half of the most happy years I ever spent were at Wacky and working with this guy. You know, he was, some of the advice that he would give you was sometimes questionable, but it was always interesting. And what an entertainer he was. I mean, working at the station during that period of time was just magical. It really was.
And now Jay's on the other side, a successful radio station owner-operator in Rome, Georgia, and it's another ball game, but you've had some great chapters in your life, and you have a great chapter right now. And
I have people like you to thank for that, because I was going to the University of Georgia, and I never will forget the day you called and said, hey, you want to come up to work at Wacky? And I said, I couldn't think of a better place I'd love to be. So thank you.
Well, you are certainly welcome. It's been our pleasure. Jay, great talking to you. You're a fine, wacky alumni. Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny.
Okay, bye. Jason O'Brien.
He was a dandy.
Yes, he was.
It was really sharp.
Very meticulous.
Good local content on the air. He knew the market. He learned the market quickly.
He did.
Started
to think
about Bailey. He knew everything that was going on. He learned the players in Louisville quickly, and the playing field. He knew everybody. He knew the city and was able to relate to people who worked at Colgate or at GE, and he knew the people who ran the show, and was able to give them a measure of grief on occasion.
You know, I think. And this is just my opinion, but I think that he was probably more comfortable having a beer with your average Joe than he was with a big muckety muck. I really believe that.
I can't tell you how many people have either called the station here or come up to me at, when we're out doing stuff, like the rock and roll reunion and the picnic, and told me, I had a beer with Johnny. I used to have beers with Johnny. Or not Johnny, but you didn't drink beers with Bailey. He would come over to this bar, and we'd be there, and he had these little neighborhood hangouts that he would visit on occasion.
Yeah.
And he had friends in each one. And he was like the people's a disc jockey for the people. Fact,
yeah,
steal the line right there.
And here's the thing, and our pal Dude Walker's on the line right now. And Dude, you'll back me up on this, I know, about Bill Bailey and his beer. He was a beer man, no doubt about it. But Bill Bailey would start out with a cold beer, and by the time he got done with it, it was room temperature. And isn't that right, Dude?
Yeah, by the time he got through with it, I had to do his show the next morning.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't because he had too many beers. That's because he didn't want to work.
Yeah, really, it was funny.
But you were with Wacky actually just about the whole time Bailey was there, most of the time, and you hung around with Bill, and you knew Bill very well personally, too. I know that. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you hear him on the air, what you hear is what you get, but there's a lot more to Bill Bailey than that, right?
Oh, there really is. My wife and I, every time we came to Louisville, we would always go by the nursing home and see Bill. And we were planning on doing that this June when we have our Wacky reunion. We were going to go by and see Bill. And then I got the message that Bill had passed away, and I actually broke down and cried.
Yeah, there's a lot of non-dry eyes around here. I told Gary Burbank a few minutes ago, John, that There's a picture here in the wacky control room, and it was taken at one of those wacky reunions that you're talking about, rock and roll reunion. And picture me, Mason, you, and Gary, and Bill Bailey.
Yep.
There you go.
Tom Dooley was at that event.
Tom Dooley, yeah, the late Tom Dooley was at that event. No, Tom Dooley's not in the picture. He was in his band.
But he was at the event, yeah. And he played with the
Lovelines. Tom was funny that night, you know.
But,
the thing about Bill is he really did have a big heart. You know, he kind of bluffed his way around, but deep down inside, he really cared about his friends, you know.
Yeah, he really did.
His family as well. And he loved my wife, you know. He told me if I ever wanted to get rid of her, let me know.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, think about this now. You were the only one at Wacky that was married.
Yeah, that's true. I was. It's kind of strange. I'd never thought about it until I heard you mention that one time.
Well, you were married to Cynthia then, like you are now, and you're a happily married man. The rest of us were all a bunch of malcontents.
Ne'er-do-wells, scallywags.
Married 48 years this year.
Wow, good for you. Well, I heard you say that you're going to be up here for the wacky rock and roll reunion and going to hold you to it. And my next step, Les's next step too, is to get you to be a guest DJ for an hour or so on this radio station.
Well, you know, it's been a long time.
I don't care. Don't want to hear about it. We're going to press you on it. I'll tell you right now.
We'll get you bored up.
You know, I got into TV, and it'd be.
I don't care. Doesn't matter. We're gonna press you on it. All right.
I just, you know, I'm an old man now. I don't have the voice I had when I was young.
Doesn't matter.
It's not what it sounds matter. Like to me.
Sounds all right to me. Anyway, that'll give you a heads up on what's to come, dude.
Well, I will definitely do that.
Right.
I'll do an hour.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
You got it.
Look forward to it.
All right.
You know, let me tell you one quick story
all
about
right.
Bill. You know, when he didn't want to work, I was the one who did his show, you know. And then you would do my show because I was doing his. But
yeah, I figured let them beat you up because you were on and Bailey wasn't. You know, that was why I did that.
Okay. Well, he called me up one night, and he says, "Dude," and I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is Bill Bailey." I said, "Yeah, Bill, what's up?" He said, "Would you believe I was in a car wreck and I'm not going to be able to come to work tomorrow?" And I said, "No, Bill, I wouldn't believe that." And he says, "Well, would you believe I was in Lexington and having a few beers, and I got into it with a guy who was 6'4", and he beat the devil out of me." And he said, "I can't work tomorrow." He said, "Now, do you believe me?" I said, "I believe that." And sure enough, when he came back to work, he was wearing sunglasses.
Oh, I remember that.
He had a black eye. Yeah, he had a black eye.
Yeah.
I
don't think it was a man. I think it was some gal hit him.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, dude. We're going to look forward to having you up here and seeing you, my friend. All right?
John, it's always great to see you. You've always been one of my favorite people, along with Bill. And I feel very grateful having had the opportunity to work with you and have you as a boss.
Well, it's been mutual, my friend. I thank you.
You're sure welcome.
Okay. Goodbye, Dude Walker.
Yep. And you know, Bill Bailey was a boxer.
Yeah, he was a boxer.
He was a boxer. Yeah. So, I mean, he was a genuine tough guy.
Yeah.
But he still, he didn't want to take on a 6'4 guy.
You really? Oh, my. It
sounds like a Bailey story to me.
There are Bailey stories all over the place.
Oh, man.
And, you know, people will ask me, and they ask you too. They say, you know, are those stories true? And my answer is, well, yeah, but they've been told and retold and embellished. And things have been added and taken away. So keep that in mind when you hear them.
That's just the way it goes with the legend.
Yeah, you got it. And Bill, definitely a legend.
The best.
The best. And the listeners would agree with that, and those of us who worked with him and knew him would agree to that. And again, the visitation is tomorrow, 11 to 6, Ratterman in Middletown. Funeral at 6 o'clock for the beloved Duke of Louisville, Bill Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
So now we come to the end of this, and you say, how do you transition from this into back into Wacky? What song do you play, et cetera, et cetera? Because nothing would seem appropriate.
No. And,
but Bill Bailey always talked about how he didn't like teeny bopper recording artists.
Right.
You gripe about that all the time. And you'll be hearing that this week on this presentation you put together. Because if you listen to Wacky all weekend, and next weekend you have a special too, don't you?
Special coming up next weekend.
So if you listen to that, you'll see that Bailey had no love for teeny bopper music. But his favorite group, for some reason, was a teeny bopper group called the Cow Sills.
And you don't get much more teeny bopper than the Cow Sills.
I know.
But he liked it. He liked them.
He loved them. So, since I don't, unless you have an idea how to get into it, I don't. I mean, I figure, well, maybe we'll let Bailey do it.
Let's let Bailey
do it. Let's let Bill Bailey, the Duke of Louisville, do this.
My friends, my good, good, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, as I lie here this morning with the tools of my trade, bottle of Alka-Seltzer and a few teeny bopper records, I call upon the good Lord in all of his mercy and wisdom to send down that golden chariot and take the old Duke home.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew she could make me happy. Flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere. Was she reality or just a dream?
There you go. The favorite, one of the favorite songs of Bill Bailey. Believe it or not, it's WAKY.
Bill Bailey.
I turned over a few spadefuls of dirt out there in the back of my property yesterday, out at the old plantation, and I'm thinking seriously, after discovering some little critters squirming around down there in the ground, maybe I'm going to set aside a part of my garage area for a bait shop. I'll call it the old Watch Hill Worm Shop.
With the girl that I'm talking about.
Make a few extra bucks.
I'm in love with the girl I can't.